Frankie. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, October 31st, 1901. Dear Brother Frankie, I have received and read your letter. I feel extremely sorry that matters have assumed the shape they have. Why did you not sit down with Elder Haskell and tell him all your plans? Why did you not come to some understanding? Why did you not arrange matters so that you could blend with him? Cannot you come together as brethren? Cannot you talk with Elder Haskell and he with you, arranging matters so that you shall not interfere with one another in your work? Cannot matters be adjusted so that your work will not cut across Brother Haskell's? I am deeply moved as I see the moral apathy upon the world. I am much interested in New York. There is abundant room for you both. Commence your labors in some other part of the city, farther away than within a few blocks of where another hall has been hired for meetings, unless you can blend with Elder Haskell, although your talents are varied. You can reach a class that Elder Haskell cannot reach, and whether he can reach them or not, there is a work that God has given him to do in the establishment of missions and the training of Bible workers to go into families and give scripture readings, a work that will prepare those who accept the truth to be in their turn light-bearers in the world, all striving to be one with Christ as he is one with the Father. Your teaching is of a character to bind the people to yourself, you dictating to them in a way for which no example is given in the Word of God. There is, in consequence, difference, contention, and variance. A party spirit is shown that reveals that the work has been misshaped. Christ's work was to unify. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17, verse 1 to 3. The right knowledge of the truth, of God and of Jesus Christ, the world's Redeemer, brings eternal life to the receiver, spiritual life in this human existence, and eternal life in the kingdom of God. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 4. We should all bear in mind that to every man God has given his work. There is no one in the entire human family who has not been entrusted with talents to be wisely used and improved. Said Christ, I have glorified thee in my human character, perfecting that character for the benefit of all humanity, to show human beings that man can keep the law of God in a world of sin and transgression, and through being a partaker of the divine nature, stand as an overcomer. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3, verse 21. Christ is our pattern. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. John 17, verse 15 to 19. Christ gave the disciples correct views of truth, and then educated them to obey the truth by revealing its principles in the character. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 20. This statement takes us all in, binding us up with Christ as we receive Him as a personal Savior. He says, I am glorified in them before the world by their reception of me as their Savior, and by their conformity to my will as they commit themselves and all their interests to my guidance and disposal. And on my side, I will give them power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on my name. My love shall be exercised toward them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15, verse 10. This is the great test of character for us all. All who in heart and life become Christ's disciples shall be one in Him.
Christ's prayer is that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 21 to 23. This is the unity that Christ prayed should be seen among his disciples. Every true laborer will work in harmony with this prayer. How can we be in unity with the Father and with the Son when in our efforts to advance the work we do not reveal that oneness in sentiment and practice that testifies that we are God's witnesses, when we have not love for one another? Is it not time that his sign should be given to the world? Is it not time that we showed, by our love for one another, that the love of God is abiding in our hearts? Bible truth, believed and practiced, reveals the oneness that exists between the Father and the Son. This manifestation of unity separates all selfishness from the character and is an evidence that God loves the followers of Christ as he loves his Son. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 22. There is nothing so objectionable among the people of God as discord and variance. God's servants, having a message from him,
are to be scattered abroad through all countries and in all cities, that they may be true witnesses for the Lord, showing to the world, which is broken up by discord and strife, variance and hatred, that there is a people who believe in Christ and who live out His word, revealing Bible sanctification and bearing the credentials which show that God has sent His Son into the world, that the world through Him might be saved and receive life through faith in Christ. Love for one another is the most convincing evidence that the truth, Bible truth, is brought into the practical life. Do we realize our responsibility? Are we studying the words of Christ and carrying them into our private and public life? Are we keeping the way of the Lord? We are now to be staunch Christians, leaning humbly on the great teacher. Those who have the truest dignity and the noblest traits of character are those who walk humbly with God, loving as brethren, each one working for the interest of the other. Has the truth been lodged in the heart? Is the mind of God, the law of God, our guide? If so, its heavenly principles of peace will prevent discord and strife. No man can stand in whose heart the truth of God is not rooted. There is only one power that can make us holy and keep us holy, the grace of God. I shall pray and believe that the Lord will help and strengthen you, and that you will have the victory. With much interest in your behalf.